The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty and Mary Jane. Mary Jane. Only on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Now you say, eat that key, but it's mouth, you know. They shall belong.
Talking Heads with Naughty and MJ is brought to you by The Armory Company, Burger King, Fine Threads, John's Department Store, KFC, the Ministry of Agriculture and Marine Resources, Naughty Johnny's, Prince Masters, the Progressive Liberal Party, and Tropical Gyros.
It seems like it was a things carrying dead. So
Rip, I got you on the Tuesday, March 24th edition of Talking Heads. Your boy Naughty along with MJ and your company right up until 6 p.m. MJ, what's good?
It is all good.
Oh, the irony. Day.
And it's good to be back in studio.
Yeah, you like studio and them long walks.
I do prefer.
At this stage of my career, I prefer to Zoom.
But when we were younger, that walk was like nothing, nothing back in the day. But now it's like your knees getting a little, you know, creaky. And
Father Time reminds me every time I walk in the studio, left knee first, then right knee.
Yeah.
I am undefeated.
Times have changed.
Oh, yeah.
Certainly.
Now you see why I like to
go
on the patio, walk the dogs, and Zoom.
Wow.
And catch the cool breeze. Mm. No, but like I said, we got lots to talk about today. We do have a special guest today. Obviously, we'll get into that interview in short order. We're going to jump right in. I'm going to let you guys know how to chime in. But our special guest today, the FNM ratified candidate for the Maine and Grantstown constituency. And he's here, Mr. Jay Philippe.
Yep.
In studio.
So we're going to talk to him.
And yes, basketball fans, yes, you already told me. We questions for the end of the interview. Just calm down. All right.
So he's a Laker fan or?
Laker fan.
Okay.
But accepting of LeBron.
I picked the wrong day to wear this for y'all, right?
Yeah. You know me, I'm old school, but that's here nor there right now. We got a country to save, you know what I mean?
I gotcha.
So if you want to chime in, you want to be part of the conversation, you have any questions for our special guest, here's how you chime in.
Here's how you can become a talking head, brought to you by BTC.
Text lines powered by BTC, 422-GR96, that's 422-4796. Phone lines open in New Providence, 323-6232, 325-4259, 325-4316. Toll free in any one of the family islands, 242-300-5720, 242-300-5720. Stream us live, take us wherever you want to go, guardiantalkradio.com. That's guardiantalkradio.com. Cable channel 969, BTC Flow channel 612. That's how you get it in. That's how you get it on for fresh news, smart talk all day right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. But like I said, first hour, we have our special guest. We'll have a great conversation with him. Second hour, we will talk some national issues and we will talk sports. And for those of you for the second hour, I want you to have this in your head. What is going on with the MP for Fox Hill?
What are you talking about?
I'm getting some... Listen, you know what they say? Who the gods want to punish, they first set crazy, correct?
It's not an exact quote, but yeah, pretty much.
Well, I'm paraphrasing.
You paraphrase.
But I witnessed the city septuagenarian wandering aimlessly in Freeboard.
Oh, you're talking about
his gum about Marco City, and it wasn't even in Marco City. And I just want to know... Where is the piece on the canal that you was taking that picture? Because I like that. I could already see a little retirement home for me and MJ right
so
there.
So many beautiful canals.
That's what I'm talking about.
In Grand Bahama.
So at this, I do call him for his silly septuagenarian. But at this stage, I am calling for a wellness check. We need to make sure he's okay. Because... That deal?
It was a little unfortunate for him to, for Mr. Mitchell to try to frame the area of Grand Bahama that he went into.
And
was
the
like,
irony, you're gonna,
like
you're
it was popped down or something.
Fox Hill, with all the atrocities that are in your constituency, past the Princess Margaret Hospital, with the rodents and all the atrocities
but
there.
The whole country needs a bit of a facelift.
On the way to the airport, where you can pass Saunders Beach with all the verges looking deplorable, and you got boats parked up,
fix that.
Derelicting in the middle of the water bay.
You do need to fix that.
Then you can go to Freeport, and you can pass. You know that's the home of East and West End, where your administration has done absolutely squadouche. Not a zilch, nothing, zero.
Well,
and you can go all the way down to what you think in your city septuagenarian mind is Marco City, but what actually isn't Marco City, and run on?
Well, I don't know if he thought it was Marco City. He just said neighborhood. You mean the post that he made alluding to Mr. Pintard's neighborhood? So,
correct.
So perhaps he was saying Marco City.
And how many folks dealing with septuagenarians and octogenarians where on a daily basis you say, you know what? Maybe it's time for a wellness check. They look a little off today. They look a little shaky.
When you think about it, though, if you have to go and find isolated and remote part of Grand Bahama, that does have some debris that obviously needs to be cleaned up. But that was like the best gotcha you can find. I mean, that says a lot.
And we do need to touch on Exuma because I'm continuing to get texts about the dredging down there, and we need to keep an eye on that.
Not started yet, but I guess people are concerned about possibilities.
And then when you have proposed cruise ships coming to within allegedly 200 feet of quote-unquote pristine Exuma.
I mean, the whole country is
waterscape.
The whole country
crazy.
Is beautiful, but Exuma is like the little crown jewel, right? The waters of Exuma are just
so
absolutely gorgeous.
We got that and more to talk about in the 5 o'clock, but more importantly right now, like I said, we do have our special guest. I'm going to jump into the interview with him. First time having him on the show. Glad to have him here. He's no stranger to studios and microphones. He is the ratified F&M candidate for the Bain and Grantstown constituency. And yes, if you're from Grand Bahama, you know him very well. If you're from Bain and Grantstown, you know him very well. And if you watch the national flag carrier for a number of years,
The broadcaster.
The broadcasting corp, you caught him on sports every night doing a great job. So our pleasure to have the F&M ratified candidate for Bain and Grantstown with us today, Mr. Jay Philippe. How are you, man?
Welcome. Good evening. I'm Jay Philippe, and welcome
there
to
he goes.
Sports.
You done
so
now.
He's in front of the microphone.
It was great catchphrase. It worked for you for years, but now you got to work on a new one.
Front of the microphone, put on the voice.
Take a leap with. I'm so glad to be here on this show. This is one of the shows I've listened to for many years and admire the work that you guys have been doing in the Bahamas. You're certainly one of the top radio shows in this country, and it shows people are listening every single day. And so kudos to you guys as well, too.
I've been on
the radio before, and I know how hard it is, but you guys have taken this to the next level.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Mr. Jay Philippe, because this is my first time meeting you. The voice is familiar, obviously, but first time meeting you in person. Tell us a little bit about Jay Philippe.
Well, I'm 38 years old, fairly young, born in New Providence, born actually in Bain and Grantstown. Went to C.C. Sweeting Jr., went to C.C. Sweeting Sr. I was fortunate as a young man to be an athlete. Under the privilege of Boston Blackie Miller.
Wow, okay.
A legend in his own right.
Mm. A legend. And I owe him a lot of success as a young man. He found me as an athlete. I was successful in sports and received a scholarship to the U.S. where I went to college, Webb International University, as an athlete on a basketball scholarship.
And that's really downplayed. One of our more decorated basketball players that have represented this country, all right? And I got to give credit where credit is due. One of the better guards that we've produced in this country. And to be honest with you, next to Tum Tum Nairn, I think one of the highest basketball IQs from the point guard position and guard position that I've seen in my time. So I tip my hat to you, brother.
You've been around to see.
There you go. You ain't got to make me feel old in the process. But I've seen it.
Yeah.
So and your jersey is retired on the Hay Street Park, my brother. And ain't nothing wrong with that.
Retired in college as well, too.
There you go.
I was fortunate to play 4 years of collegiate basketball where I was a point guard, All-American player. And after I was done with college, I decided to pursue a master's degree. I became a coach in college, received a master's degree in business administration. Immediately after that, I began coaching at Webb CM School that I played.
Wow.
Built a relationship there and then worked a few years. And once I wanted to return back to the Bahamas, I was about 23 years old. I decided to visit Grand Bahama one day and got a job offer right away.
Wow.
Looking for work. And that's why I was in Grand Bahama for so many years. Became a high school teacher.
And then you were involved in coaching down there as well, too.
Involved in coaching as well,
and
too.
And condolences, too, on your mentor, on Bonnie Based, and a legend down there as well, too.
That's my adopted mom. She was the one that recruited me into Grand Bahama. She passed away a few weeks ago. And so
two names you think of in basketball out of Grand Bahama. Gladstone Moon McPhee.
And Bonnie
Basting. And Bonnie Basting.
You got
So my thoughts and prayers go out to her family as well, too.
You got it. And so since then, I started working at the Broadcasting Corporation. I've been there for the past 7.5 years. It's going on 8 years. But I decided I wanted to have a bigger national impact in my community. I'm married, happily married, that is. I have a daughter, 12 years old. They're still in Grand Bahama.
Good.
Waiting to come back to New Providence. I'm family-oriented. My parents are still alive. I'm fortunate to have my parents that are still alive. I'm actually living in their house right now through Hay Street, where I was born and raised. I have 5 siblings, all older than I am. And so I'm the baby,
you are
so
the baby.
To speak. Mm. But I'm just a grateful person. I am a Christian. I make it known. I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior.
Amen.
And I just have big goals and dreams for myself as a young man. I want to reach the absolute top and give myself a chance to maximize any potential or goals that I have for myself.
Now, let me ask you this. Everybody knows you from Hay Street, Bannon Ground. Point blank, honest question, Jay. You came from Hay Street. You went off to college.
Yes.
You did your master's, you coached abroad, you went to Freeport, got a job, back home now. How much has Hay Street changed since you left? Be honest with me, please.
It hasn't changed, to be honest with you. In fact, I was on the park just 2 weeks ago playing basketball, and it was the very same, I feel like it's the same rims. The walls that you sit on, it's the very same walls. As far as Hay Street, the infrastructure, the roads, the signage, the look, has not changed in my estimation. And that's just unfortunate when you think about it. As a young man, I was born and raised in the area. I'm 38 years old.
When I passed that park, I always tell my sons, I said some of the legends came from that park there. I had some great runs on that park there, great tournaments. That is kind of like our Rucker Park, you know.
It was.
And it should be built up. The kids should be able to play there from all those communities throughout the day. You should have people from the community. You know, every night you go out there, you could be able to get a hot dog or a sandwich from so-and-so because mama could be selling on the park.
Right.
And it gets them away from the gangs. And so what if they're out there till 2 a.m. playing ball? They're doing something productive.
Certainly, like you mentioned, it used to be like the Rucker Park.
It was the Rucker Park. We come and watch.
Like Pooey and
all of them.
And G-Money. And so many Donkey, so many guys.
Donkey used to screw. That's the same Scrooge who hosts on Friday night,
yes.
Right? That same Scrooge.
Right.
Scrooge McDuck, yes. Okay? That Scrooge.
That same one.
So Hay Street put out a lot of good people over the years, but it's been stereotyped. But I think listen, I'm rooting for you because that community needs a young, vibrant breath of life. I think you could do so much with the youth in that community, not just with the basketball.
Right.
You look in that community, a lot of the high schools, their kids are from being in Grantstown.
Yes, and I was saying that community actually saved me as a young man because I wasn't always this Jay Fleep that you see here.
How are you different? Were you mischievous? Were you a bit mischievous?
I was somewhat in between.
Okay.
But I almost became a product of that environment, so to speak. You know, when you grow up in those areas, I mean, you have your own decisions to make, but you often, what you see around you is what you do, what you become. And I have a lot of friends that I went to school with, same age of me. Unfortunately, they're not even here anymore. Some guys that are incarcerated, some guys that didn't make it, that, you know, they're not alive. But that community shaped me so much. I was able to have difficult times, but I always stayed focused. And that's because I was surrounded by some good people as well, too.
What are some of the things you remember growing up in Bain and Grantstown that you think make, because you say it helped shape who you are today. What are some of the positive things that you remember growing up?
Certainly, I had a lot of influence as far as people that believed in me, and that's why I wanted to talk about even sports. Sports saved my life, right? Rather than being mischievous doing different things, I was always on the basketball court. I was also on the government ground playing softball. I was also on the Perry on top of the hill playing basketball or dumping ground corner.
You said it right there. That's when I first heard about this kid, Jay Philippe, and I was like, well, who's that? Because, you know, I'm an old veteran Priory rat myself.
Right.
You know, you go ask Stoney and John blocks them about the naughty one, they'll tell you. Mm-hmm. And we said, well, who's this little point guard? And everybody kept saying, he's a smart kid. Look, he's smart. He's getting it. So obviously,
right. You
were the little Priory rat in the sense that you were there all the time playing. And
Were you from the time, sort of like we were, where like everybody would be looking out for you if you're out there, if you're doing anything crazy, like they're calling your parents? Were you from that kind of an
certainly
environment?
Certainly, it was like a family environment. Everybody knew you.
The
know?
Same gangsters right. were trying to recruit him, and he was trying to be diplomatic about it earlier. It was the same ones turning around and saying, no, leave this one alone. He going somewhere. He coming
you
out the hood. He going to college. Leave him. Don't play with
around
him.
Around that time, you had gangs like gun dogs.
Gun dogs, mason murderers. All of them.
Border Boys.
Hoyas.
You all know. Of them. And so, but they all.
And don't forget the Thunder Rebel Rebellion.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So a lot of friends and guys were part of gangs, but they looked out for young persons.
Right.
You know, they looked out for the athletes, the brewing athletes, the young females that had talent and had skills. And so it was, while it was somewhat an area that was of concern, we always looked out for each other. And that's something I want to return back to.
I think you need to rekindle that, because we've lost that in all our communities. You don't have people looking at it anymore. You have people looking to exploit young people, take advantage of young people, and the elderly in the community as well, too. So I think this is a very good community and constituency for somebody young such as yourself, who's vibrant and passionate and knows it because you come from there. Nobody can tell you about Bannon Grandstand.
No.
You are Bannon Grandstand.
Yeah, like you mentioned with Scroogey, and he and I had a conversation. And also Froggy from Augusta Street,
yes,
playing
man.
His coach. We also want to include Yassi Delancey. You know, she's a product from Bannon Grandstand as well.
And long-time basketball player.
And so all of those persons have been having conversations with. We want to return where you have summer league basketball, where you have every weekend you can play. Because I don't see it anymore. You know, it's something we should look forward to.
I saw them do an improvement. I got to give credit. They brought back some 8 and under and some 10 and under. But I don't know how long it was for and how developed it is. But I think we have to get back. You had super mini, all kind of stuff to play.
You remembered. Super mini.
Then the important thing was, with the Cougars, if you were affiliated with the senior team, you helped coach the junior team. If you was on the junior team, you coached super mini or thingam. And
that's great community, you know. Yeah. So you did basketball. You got into college with a basketball scholarship. Did very well from everything that we're hearing. You come back home. First of all, was there any thought in your mind, maybe I don't go back home to the Bahamas when I'm done with college? Or was that something you said, I'm going back home?
At the time, you know, we always want better for ourselves. And at the time I was in college, I wanted to stay in the U.S. because I had aspirations of being a professional basketball player.
Okay.
I thought I would have made the NBA, if not NBA, then the European League.
Right.
That was my ultimate goal. But once I started to develop and I realized that it was more than just basketball, I decided to do my master's degree. I wanted to become an individual, a health person. It was a no-brainer to return home. And so ever since that, I mean, I think God intervened, and it's just been a blessing to be able to come back home to find the next Jay Phillips, to find other persons that has a talent and stream skills. And so I always wanted to come back once I knew that I found myself as an individual to be able to create opportunities for other persons, because sometimes people invested in me as a young man. Scroogey, we talked about.
Right.
And so the ultimate sacrifice for me now is to invest in other people as well, too.
You spent time coaching. You also said you spent time teaching. Tell us what that was like.
Yeah, I taught for 3 years in high school. I taught business office procedures and hospitality and tourism. That's where I got my hospitality degree in. But as far as coaching, I'm still a coach. I started coaching in 2010. I'm 16 years. I am proudly the national team head coach of the under-17 boys right now. I'm a two-time Hugh Campbell champion at Sunland Baptist Academy. We won 9 championships as a high school coach, including 5 consecutive tip-off classic championships, the Catholic High Championship. Also won 3 titles as a U.S. coach as well, too. And so God has been good to me, and also been blessed of good assistant coaches and good players. It's not Jay Philippe as the coach.
Yeah.
It's the players that have been able to put it around me that have helped me to be able to be successful.
We here in New Providence will turn a blind eye for you contributing to Freeport, continuing to beat the heck out of us at Hugh Campbell. We'll turn a blind eye for that.
Yeah. It was a good one. Back-to-back was going for the third consecutive.
We'll forgive you for that. In certain studios when it comes to certain things, you know?
Yeah.
But I think at some point you need to come and win 3 for New Providence.
Well,
I'm here.
I'm offering myself. I want to be able to. In fact, even my alma mater, CC Sweden.
The Cobras.
I'm available if you. This is a call. CC Sweden, which is my alma mater. I am available if you need any assistance as far as coaching. I'm not coming there to be the head coach. Even if I can come and help and assist any school in Fox. C.R. Walker, I believe that my skills as a coach, I want to be able to share that with persons based on my experience and see how best we can develop the next, you know, the Buddy Heels, the Vijay Edgecombs, the Michael Thompsons, the DeAndre Aytons, the Eric Gordons.
And that's why I wanted to have this conversation with you. Yeah, it leans to sports, but it's your wheelhouse. And if you look at baseball, track and field, basketball, soccer, that is the next line where all our young athletes are coming from. And obviously we need to keep an eye on the flag football league
and
as
swimming.
Well, too. And swimming as well, too. I would be remiss. Thank you for...
Yeah,
they had an awesome
great.
Display the other night. So I think the best way, I've always said, the best and the biggest and best gang to ever be in is a sports team.
Is a sports team.
Play on a sports team.
Correct.
I got friends to this day MJ, I'll tell you from years ago playing ball, pick up the phone just like yesterday, talking. You can relate. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
And even in that regard, as far as, you know, we have sororities, fraternities, people have in college, and I've been asked numerous times to be a part of a number of fraternities, and I would always say my biggest fraternity, right? I'm a part of a fraternity, the sporting fraternity.
Right.
And that's one of the biggest, you know, groups that you could be a part of, because you make so much relationships, you connect with people all around the world that can be resources for you, and you meet these people, and these are lifetime friends.
And I'm thinking we need people in place who get it and understand the pipeline that we're trying to create. Yes, we got a bunch of good young baseball players, but now we need the scouts to come here on a regular basis and have that pipeline so we know not only are they looking to sign them professionally, but collegiately, high school. So there's multiple options in a better program.
Get them ready.
Great opportunity.
And speaking of that,
basketball,
even today,
track, swimming, everything.
And yesterday, I had a coach from Oklahoma that was texting me all morning in reference to one of my high school players, Silvano Gibson.
Good.
And yesterday, a coach from Missouri texted me in reference to wanting players down in the Bahamas. And I told him he wanted me to send these guys next week to visit. I said, Coach, you need to come down here and look at these guys. And once I can get about 10 to 20 guys in one environment on a court, Coach will be able to decide which guys he likes or not, or can recommend guys.
And we need to do it how it's done over there. Listen, you can find 15 scouts to hop on a flight and come to the Bahamas, like now.
Easily.
Because the first thing drawing them is the Bahamas. We're going to have some collect, we eat some Kong salad, and we're going to watch some people. We're going to watch some fellas play ball. Right up their alley, in their wheelhouse, they're there.
But we have such a great track record now, right?
Correct.
With the buddies and BJs, right?
I was about to say that, because a lot of times now, the coaches will call and say, you have any buddies down there? You have any VJ that comes
right
down there? You have any DeAndre? My response will be, come find out.
Yeah.
I'll have them set up. So we want to get away as best as we can of sending our athletes to camps and to different training, different environments, rather than having, we need to have them here.
So do you feel that, and I'm going to use the word modernize, but I think Ministry of Youth Sports and Culture, but especially Ministry of Sports, needs to step in to the 2026 where we live and exist today. I think we're still missing the ball and dropping the ball on multiple opportunities. I think we should have a national sports academy.
I think
so
we're
these
behind.
Kids know exactly, I go to school from this time to this time, I'm working out, I'm doing nutrition, I'm training, because everything that we had to experience was first time. When you walked in that locker room for the first time, training room, ice machine,
I was lost.
Tape, what?
I was.
And I'm a little bit older than you, so just imagine when I play, what? You got tape, you got ice,
to your point,
I
think we're behind. You know, while I worked as Zed, traveled to cover a lot of different national teams and athletes, Peru, Colombia, Jamaica, Dominican Republic. And I saw, you mentioned sporting academies. I saw in those countries where they had academies that focus on elite athletes, and that's why they were so successful. We've talked about that in the Bahamas for many years. For many years, since I was a high school student, and I haven't seen that manifest.
Because it gets lost in translation, because people start to realize, oh, I can make money off this. Let me go gung-ho, I'm making money, and then becomes, you know, there's no quality there anymore. It's just quantity.
That is very true.
And if you notice those like academies that you saw from the DR and so forth, they're developing kids at 6 years old. They're not worrying about him at six. They're looking for where they project him to be at 16 or 17.
Correct.
So anything that happens between now and then is all water under the bridge. I don't care how good you are at 12 playing shortstop, because guess what? You might have a wicked growth spurt at 16, and now you're a pitcher.
That's true.
A center fielder. You can hit the ball. And it's development, not only in the baseball, but the basketball, the soccer, so on. And the education goes with it, too. And that's where we lose out on it. We lose focus on how important the education aspect is to it. Because look at you. Didn't make the NBA, but you're in a great position at 38.
That's why it's called a student athlete, not an athlete student. You know, student comes before being an athlete. That's very important. Because even when you go to universities or high school abroad, you have to pass your classes. You cannot just be an athlete. They have prerequisites. You have to be able to maintain a certain level of GPA, especially as an athlete on scholarship when an institution is paying for you.
You have standards to upkeep for
you
sure.
You have a different level of commitment, and so that's very important. And a lot of athletes don't make it through that 4 years. And to speak of the coaching aspect of volunteering, a lot of persons use it to make money. Credit to Bonnie Basin, who showed me the right way. It's an investment. You know, coaches shouldn't want to be able to coach or be able to benefit financially for every student right away or every athlete. It's an investment. Because we think about people invested in you as a young person.
Yeah. Correct. So it makes sense to give it back to Talking Heads on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM with our very special guest, Mr. Jay Philippe, who is the ratified candidate for the Free National Movement for the Bain and Grandstand constituency. We're going to take a break here, but on the other side, we're going to get into some politics, find out why he decided after such a successful career to switch and go into politics. So that and a whole...
And what are some of the plans for being in Grandstand?
Of course, we're going to get to all of the plans. That and so much more on the other side.
KFC, got that crispy onions crunch, take a bite, it's a smile. Sweet onion sauce drip, happy running down my side. Pepper jack cheese, bring a little play for wild. Free Dutch bun soft like a cloud on this ride.
KFC, get cheeky with it, hey. Taste the sweet side of things. Every single bite, so litty. Got my whole crew doing their thing. Crispy onions, sweet onion sauce, pepper jack cheese going on.
Introducing the new sweet cheeky chicken sandwich at KFC.
Let's get cheeky with it.
Hey everyone, get ready for a night you won't forget. It's Z-Live's Far Back Friday Party with host Chivago Lang. Friday, March 27th, beginning at 7 p.m. Join us at Zapatillo State and refreshing drinks. Get your tickets at the Nassau Guardian between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. $50 per person, cash sales only. It's Z-Live's Far Back Friday Party. Real music, lots of fun, eats and drinks, and oh so cool vibes. See you there.
This is definitely the time for BAMSI to continue to build on the progress that we've made. There's now drone technology. There's now year-round container farming. You have hydroponics. You have aquaponics. You have precision farming. There have been record numbers of enrollments, record numbers of flat fishing certifications. We've had record enrollments in our online courses. Students from across the family of islands. Because in BAMSI, we are not just cultivating produce. We're cultivating producers.
Paid for by the PLP.
Craving something bold, fresh, and unforgettable? Tropical Gyros is your flavor-packed escape, a Carib-Greek fusion born right here in Nassau. From juicy grilled salmon, chicken, and pork gyros to loaded bowls, fresh salads, wings, and more, there's something for every craving. Find Tropical Gyros at any of their locations, JFK Plaza, Rosetta Street, Port Lucaya Freeport, or their franchise spots on Prince Charles Drive, Soldier Road West, Delaport, and Carmichael Road. Tropical Gyros, not just good food, it's an experience.
Heads with Naughty and Mary Jane.
Mary Jane.
Only on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
It's time for the buzz. What are you buzzing on? Brought to you by John's Shoes.
Now you say eat that key, but it's mouth, you know? They shall be long. I never ask you, not know what you tell me. I beg you daily to cease and still you keep talking. Tell me from your little baby, eat that key, pet his mouth, child, stay out of problem. It seems like it was a king's carrying in jail. So I ain't carrying on. Same mouth that chatter with me, well, chatter of him, murder rap, big in farmer. Oh, Jay.
Listening to Talking Heads on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM with your host MJ and Naughty, and our very special guest today, Mr. Jay Philippe, who's a ratified candidate for the Free National Movement for the Bain and Grandstand constituency. So I have to ask you, Jay, politics. I mean, you have a successful career in broadcasting. You've achieved a lot, you know, that you probably set out to achieve in your professional career. Why the switch to politics?
For me, it, and I say it all the time, it was a bit personal. Being from a community that gave you hope and gave you an opportunity, which is being in Grahamstown, having the opportunity to move to Grand Bahama, have an opportunity to move to the U.S., have an opportunity to travel the world and see how a community should be. And when I reflect on, since I was a kid, maybe 10 years old, when I knew about myself, and I look back 30 years later,
right,
to walk these same streets, to travel, to see the same pumps on the side of the road, to see the same infrastructures, to see the same speed bumps, to see the same lamp poles, I said to myself, why not give yourself a chance? When I said that, I was one of those persons that complained about the government.
Okay.
Every 5 years, you have a different member of parliament with no results. That's how I felt. And I got to the point now where I have an opportunity to make a difference in an area that means so much to me. And the leader of the Free National Movement, Michael Pindart, who I've had an opportunity to work with while he was the Minister of Youth, Sports, and Culture. I understood his vision. I understood that he wanted young people to lead. And he knew I was from being in Grahamstown. And so when I look around the Bahamas, when I see a lot of other constituencies developing, the Kalanis, the South Beach, the Yamacraws, the different, and I look back at being in Grahamstown, I personally haven't seen any progress. And I said to myself, if I have an opportunity to make a difference, I will do that because I wanted to make that difference. And that's why I decided to take a leap from broadcasting, from stud coach, but to be able to impact a community that gave me so much hope as a young man, and see how I can make a difference rather than complaining on the sideline continuously.
What drew you to the Free National Movement in particular? I mean, you have other parties to choose from. What was it about the Free National Movement that made you say, okay, yeah, this is the team that I want to be a part of?
The leader, honestly. Michael Pintard, most of the other candidates are personal friends of mine. And again, he, as a leader, is a regular guy. He's not, and would have mentioned that, he's not the traditional, you know, the doctor or lawyer. He came from the orange economy. He was a guy that went to university, COB at the time,
right,
that worked at McDonald's, that had a security job over at Paradise Island. And so he and I have a lot in common as ordinary people from inner city communities that was able to build a name for themselves in a career. And that drew me. It drew me knowing that he was a guy, now he's the leader of the opposition. And that's an opportunity that I could not turn down, to be able to work with someone that I have trust in, to work with someone that believes in me, and to work with someone that I believe in. And that was the reason why I decided to. But more importantly, it's about my community.
And it's Bain and Grahamstown that drew you in, because you lived in Freeport, but you didn't decide to, you know, seek a nomination in Grand Bahama. You said you want to represent Bain and Grahamstown. Why? And then tell us a little bit about your plans for Bain and Grahamstown.
Again, it's home. My parents still live there. I just moved back into the very same house that I was born and raised.
What was that like? So, did they want you back in? I was like, what you doing back here, boy?
Well, you know what?
Because I know if I tried it, my parents would be like, get out of here.
What? they welcomed the item. My parents are a bit in age. My father, both of my parents are 70s approaching 80.
Okay.
And so for me, I wanted to be able to experience them. At this age, I was a teenager when I moved to Grand Bahama in college. I never really had the chance to really experience them as adults, really, where I can now care for them rather than them caring for me. And so it's a good feeling every single day, waking up now every morning, making tea for my parents, making sure that when we were driving, putting the seatbelt on them. These things I didn't had an opportunity to do years ago. And so every single morning, every single day, I consider it a privilege and an honor to be able to be around my parents that gave me so much hope. As far as plans for being in Grahamstown, when I first became the candidate, when I started canvassing the area, I had some preconceived thoughts on what I wanted to do as a potential politician. But it wasn't until I started really knocking on doors and talking to people and going house by house, find out what they want in the community,
right,
it's when I started to kind of revamp my canvas and my ideas. And one of the things that immediately was of shock was that, and you're familiar, Naughty, with being in Grahamstown. It's not one of those communities where you have, you know, single yards, right? You have three, four, five houses.
In one yard.
In one yard. That's common in being in Grahamstown. And the question was, who's the owner of this place? Where do you pay rent? And a lot of persons, believe it or not, have been living in some homes for 20, 30, 40 years and don't own these homes. They don't own these homes. Sometimes they're not even sure who's the landlord, but it's affordable for them to pay and pay and pay. But a lot of persons now want to be able to own their own homes. So what we want to do under the Free National Movement is give persons an opportunity to own their own homes. I know space is limited in being in Grantstown. It's a populated area with density. But we do plan on building homes. We do plan on building possibly high-rise homes where you can rent to possibly own now rather than continuing to just
pay. High-rise is interesting because we've always done subdivisions with multiple, you know, one-unit homes all over. I think that the multi-story high-rise can work, especially in an inner city community such as Bayonetown.
You see it all around the world. You see it in the U.S. where you in inner city.
Go right down to Overton where the old Miami Arena was and where the new Miami Arena is, and look what they did in that community.
You can build up. You know, space is limited. You can build up in nice areas that keep two-story, three-story, give people an opportunity to rent, to own these places, and it belongs to them afterwards. Also, one of the initiatives that I started was the installation of solar lights.
Okay.
It's not even an expensive venture. Like I would have mentioned, a lot of homes, a lot of yards has 4 and 5 homes. And I'm walking through and canvassing and campaigning at nighttime, and you can't see sometimes. And so I came up with the idea, my team and I, not myself, of installing 2 solar motion lights on every home that brings immediate light to areas. And that requires just sun rays that hit the solar panel. It deters crime or it makes persons double think about committing a crime because of the lighting that comes on automatic. And it's helpful for a lot of residents.
Is that another big concern in Bayonne and Grantstown, the crime? I noticed throughout the entire country, is that one of the things that your potential constituents say when you walk around and talk to them?
Certainly, crime is prevalent in the inner city community. And that's because of reasons. But I know a lot of persons have idle time. That they tend to get involved in crime. So we want to definitely increase law enforcement's presence, but also the community, persons in the community has a responsibility as well too. While we want to increase law enforcement, we want to have ideas. Individuals that live in the area has a responsibility to be more mindful, to be more respectful, and be more vigilant as well too. Sometimes we know the persons are that are committing crimes. We know the persons that has their intent. So we as residents have to be more mindful of how we can, you know, change the mindset of people in that community by being able to give them, by being able to empower them, really.
All right, let's get to the phone lines. Talking Heads.
Hi, Naughty. Good afternoon, MJ.
Hey.
And, Jay Philippe, good afternoon to you as well.
Good afternoon, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Totally appreciating and, you know, listening to your contribution to this conversation. And it's really great to hear someone who grew up in a particular area actually want to represent that area because of the understanding of the infrastructure and the people in those areas. And you have already done, according to you, canvas and get additional information. My thing is what I addressed before. You know, Bayonne and Grantstown is a historic area where a lot of, you know, it's like that area, looking at it, is still back in the 50s and the 60s. I know some of the conversations I've had, and I brought it to light even on some of the talk shows, whereas, you know, the infrastructure such as running water in the homes and proper sanitation like toilets and bathrooms and stuff in these homes. Have you heard any of the residents there actually speak to their advantages of having these actually installed into the homes instead of having to go to the outside pump to get water, instead of having to go to the outhouse to do your do and so on and so forth. How prevalent is that in the area in terms of the residents speaking about the changes that they would like to see? And upon hearing that information, have you actually drafted a plan, a personal plan on how to attack situations like that to modernize the infrastructure themselves, even though the structures may be 50, 60 years old? Have you formulated a plan on how to bring about that sense of modernization to a lot of the homes in the area? I'll hang up on that.
Thank you so much.
Okay,
the lines are following on it.
Let him answer that, and then we get to the other part.
So that's a very, very good question, and our leader spoke of it on Saturday at the launch. There's no way in 2026 that we still have persons that are using outside toilets.
Yeah, that in 2026, that needs to change.
This is 2026. I've used them when I was when I was born in 87, around that kind of time, to see that it's still an enemy camp. It's not like two or three persons. It's many persons, hundreds of persons that are still using outside toilets, hundreds of persons that are still using the pumps on the outside. And so that's something that we definitely want to address once we become the government of this country. The idea, in particular for being in Grahamstown where I live, I want to ensure that within the next 5 years and beyond, that we don't have persons using outside toilets anymore. We have contacts of persons that want to help. I'm new to politics. I tell people that all the time. I'm a journalist. I'm a coach. I'm a mentor. So it requires me having people in my corner as well, too, who know more about this topic, where I can discuss and come up with great ideas to ensure that we move forward as a country. But I know in 2026, there's no way we should have persons in the community still using outside toilets.
No, I agree. Let's go to the phone lines. Talking Heads.
Good day, Madam MJ.
Good day.
The naughty one, and my newly impressed member of parliament for being in Grahamstown, Mr. Philippe. A lot of things you say really catch my attention. Do you play the guard position?
That's the only position I played my entire life, sir. Point guard my entire life. I was too short to play any other sport.
Anyway, you say, and you went to college where?
School of Business in Central Florida for 6 years, where I studied, played college basketball for 4 years, and also became a coach for the final 2 years.
Okay, I am very impressed by your credentials, and the young man that is running against my other schoolmate, Miles DeRota, in Pinewood.
Denari Road.
Yeah, so I really would like to see you challenge Michael on the court and Miles on the court and see how that comes out. Okay, because, you know, growing up in the inner city, like we all did, because, you know, the two of them are my schoolmates. We just, you know, graduate from high school and went to junior and senior high school together. And to contribute to the inner city, you seem like the right type of person to be the next MP of Member of Parliament for being in Grahamstown. Also, you know my cousin named Sharon, the general store?
Yes, Sharon the General is...
Your cousin is the legendary Sharon at the General Store?
Let me finish, Tony. Yeah, because Sharon's mother taught my aunt how to do hairdressing, create her profession, who is the grandmother of my younger cousin, Vado. Shine 242 from Fortune Hills in Salvador.
There you go.
And V Mark.
Good stuff.
I think it's impressive that Sharon is even still calling games as a referee, because as a kid he was calling. I'm talking about as a super mini kid, he was a referee, and to see him sometimes.
And a legendary softball player as well, too. Good stuff, Dennis. Let's get to these other calls. Talking Heads.
Let's go to the other lines. Talking Heads.
Hi.
Hi, good afternoon.
How you doing? Good afternoon, Nori.
Afternoon.
Good, man. And your team, G. Philippe, and your gorgeous wife.
Why, thank you.
G. Philippe, you know, this, your good friend, Mr. Willie, Paul Willie.
Hey, Paul
Willie. Hey, Mr. Willie, how are you?
Good, man. But I listened to your credentials, man. I'm proud of you. And I think you're going to do a very good job in being in Grahamstown. Yeah, you know, because you're from the soil. You know what the people need and what they want. So, my support,
thank you.
Go and bring it home.
Thank you. And for me, again, it's not like, you know.
What's that?
For me, it's not like I'm a candidate that lives in a different community. You know, I live there. So what happens in the community on this everyday basis affects me. If crime is prevalent, it affects my livelihood. If we have water issues, light issues, it affects me every single day. I don't have to go in a car and go drive to a place to see if it is fact. So it's very personal. That's why I wanted to commit myself. Again, I made a decision. I took a leap of faith, and I wanted to really, really impact my community, because this is what I love. I love being in Grahamstown, and I wouldn't do it for no other place in the world besides being in Grahamstown.
Let's go to the phones. Talking Heads.
Hey, great choice. You're your naughty MJ and your guest.
Good afternoon. Hi.
How are you?
Wait a minute. Let me just make this quick, because I know you have a lot of callers coming in, right? I want to ask your guest, right? As an MP, right, I applaud you as a young person coming back to give back to the community, right? But question, are you important, what is important to you, being a popular leader or being someone that makes the right decisions? Because, you know, making the right decisions could cost you your job. For example, if because of the fuel and all these hard economic times comes up that the party that you're selected to be in decides to go up on VAT, would you vote against it, knowing that the party vote for it? And of course, you knew your job.
So to answer your question, it's never about being an important leader. It's about being an impactful leader, to be honest with you. I made a decision where I wanted to sacrifice for this to be in this position. And so I do believe in party policies, we as a group, we come together to make decisions. And so when the decisions are made at the table, everybody has an input. I would give my input at all times, but it's ultimately up to the party to make that final decision. But I would stand, again, I would be, if I'm elected to represent the people of being in Grantstown. That's the majority of the votes. And so I'm going to do whatever it takes to ensure that the people in that community has a voice in the House of Parliament.
Let's come back to the phone lines. Talking Heads.
Hey, Naughty, what's happening, man?
What's happening?
MJ, how's it going?
Hey, good. How are you?
Still keeping bad company.
Yeah, of course.
And to your guest, Mr. Jay Philly. Pleasant. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
It's great to hear you speak with such affection for your community and your parents. I think that's going to be very appealing to a lot of folks in the community. I would love for us, though, as Bahamians, to elevate governance and leadership, not politics. And we get lost in the politics, and it doesn't fare well. It hasn't for over 50 years for us. So my question to you is, what are your thoughts on, for example, people that offer themselves? You speak of your constituency and where you grew up with affection. What if there were prerequisites that while you serve if elected, you would have to live in the constituency in which you represent? That's one. Two, the insurance, all the perks we guarantee these guys every 5 years after election, it seems like everybody finds a beachfront property somehow, right? But if the public services that every Bahamian has to access, the hospital, the schools, if it were mandatory, save like everybody else, if it was a procedure that the hospital didn't offer, but you had to go there, that your children, if you offer yourself a service, have to attend a school in the community like the rest of us. I want to hear your thoughts on that. Or if you would even take it a step further and introduce legislation to make that mandatory. What are your thoughts on something like that? Thanks for allowing me to contribute.
Thank you so much.
I mean, that's a very interesting question, but something definitely to give thought about. I can only speak for myself. I know that, in fact, I had a conversation yesterday with a resident. I said, I love being in Grantstown. I can't see myself I'm moving from there, especially if elected. And that's going to be a challenge sometimes, but that community is home for me. You know, it's somewhere that, again, shaped me of relocating beyond that area right now, unless it's a job opportunity or be able to do something different. But as far as ensuring that persons can stay in the community, that's something that's beyond my control. Honestly, I want to be honest with you guys. As far as ensuring that they live there, have their kids, put in legislation for persons to stay in that community if they become a member of parliament. People have personal choices of their own for different reasons. And so that's something that someone will have to make that decision on. But for myself, I know where I stand with that. I know where I stand as far as being a part of the community, and I understand where I stand as far as being involved in the community and being a part of it. And that's where that's a bit different for me compared to somebody else.
All right, we got to get to the news. Let's get to the news. Flip side of the news. We'll wrap with our special guest, the FNM ratified candidate for the Maine and Grantstown constituency, Mr. Jay Philippe. And MJ and I got several other things we need to talk about. We'll talk some more national issues, and then we'll get into sports. All coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Keep it right where you got it. The Tuesday, March 24th edition of Talking Heads continues right after this.
Then you tell Teflon can excite him like a dose of poison. Don't believe you're wicked. You tell me woman, tell me you have another lady. Then you tell me, say she have a man wherever I ride. Murder a mountain, I see. And some men you deserve. News carrying jail. Yes. And so I ain't carrying on. No.
Hey, Nassau. Get ready for the new and bold Barbecue Crispy King at Burger King. Two 100% flame-grilled patties stacked with that irresistible onion crunch you love. Smoky barbecue sauce, crisp bacon, and melted cheddar. All on a buttery brioche bun. Mmm. crunch, bacon, cheese, flame grill flavor. Swing by any of Burger King 6 Nassau locations and taste the new Barbecue Crispy King today. Burger King Nassau, where taste is on fire.
Tech giving you trouble? For 85 years, the Armory Company has been fixing it. Your parents trusted us. Your grandparents trusted us. And today, you trust us too. Since 1941, we've been the Bahamas' trusted tech partner. From laptops and ink to access control and gate motors, we deliver reliable products backed by service that goes beyond the sale. Call 397-1600 or visit our updated showroom behind Wendy's on Mackey Street. The Armory Company. Celebrating 85 years of serving you.
John's Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty and Mary Jane.
Mary Jane.
Only on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Oh, Jay. Yeah. Your mouth are gonna put you in a problem.
Talking Heads with Naughty and MJ is brought to you by The Armory Company, Burger King, Fine Threads, Chance Department Store, KFC, the Ministry of Agriculture and Marine Resources, Naughty Johnny's, Prince Masters, the Progressive Liberal Party, and Tropical Gyros.
You are go bar, say see a kaya mountain. You are go weak, say see a kaya deep. Shall make your ball, see a kaya mountain.
We're back at you on the Tuesday, March 24th edition of Talking Heads. Your boy Naughty along with MJ in your company right up until 6 p.m. Wrapping things up with our special guest, the F&M's ratified candidate for the Maine and Grantstown constituency, Mr. Jay Philippe. And a couple of questions before we close things out. One came off the text line for you, Jay, and I think it's good in relation to you talked about high-rises earlier, and I think you know that does make sense within the inner city. Once it's done properly. Good evening, Naughty, MJ, and your guest. I want to ask Mr. Philippe, have they considered the possibility of criminal activity gangs, in particular when housing a multitude of people in a project style? A lot of examples are in Chicago, New York, and even Miami. It sounds good, but it could also turn bad.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely would want to go about it
obviously,
the right way.
Obviously, proper security, proper policing, that would have to tie into it as well. Within the community, but I think if done correctly, it works because
it's worked around the world. In some areas, it hasn't. But again, it requires first and foremost. I think residents has a responsibility to safeguard themselves and their communities by being responsible. In addition to that, as well, we talked about increasing law enforcement, increasing security. Understanding there's consequences if you decide to go the other way. And so persons has a part to play, security has a part to play, policing has a part to play, but it requires a community coming together to make sure that we can be in a safe environment. I've seen it work in some places in the U.S. where I travel sometimes, in South Florida, in Central Florida, in Atlanta, where you have high-rise communities that are safe, that are gated sometimes. And so it can work here as well, too, in the Bahamas, in particular in the community of Bain and Grantstown.
So the F&M had a really big, y'all had a big party over the weekend, I'll call it that, your official campaign launch by all together. I mean, I've been listening to some of the commentary and everybody seems to agree that you guys did a fantastic job with your launch. And it was particularly refreshing to see so many candidates get up, talk about issues that are important to the Bahamian people and offer some solutions to, the country's problems. But looking forward, towards the future, what do you think are two of the major issues that are facing the country right now? And what is the Free National Movement going to do about solving those problems that we're dealing with?
Yeah, I must say the rollout was exceptional. Me coming from a television production background,
right.
Able to put
Y'all
together
put
production,
on a big show.
That production was elite. That was a 10
yeah,
out of 10 as far
good.
As execution. That takes a lot of work, a lot of teamwork, a lot of communication, a lot of moving parts that people don't see from the outside looking in. But it's definitely a major, major rollout on the weekend. It was very successful. I think one of the issues that the country is currently facing, I think we all know, is health crisis.
Yeah.
We've seen it We're not doctors, you and I. We're not doctors. We're not nurses. But we've seen where our doctors and our nurses and our health professionals have been crying for help with constant protests, with constant social media posts, with constant people, in fact, leaving the healthcare industry in the Bahamas and relocating to go different places in the U.S.
Yeah, we lose a lot of our talent abroad.
We are losing them every single day. And we have persons that are in the healthcare community right now, in the healthcare field, that are in college or in universities, that choose to not even want to work here.
When you talk to younger people that may be thinking about coming back, they're saying, well, we're not sure we want to come back home?
I met this doctor the other day, a young doctor that works in the Princess Margaret Hospital.
Okay.
And she was so passionate with me she saw me as a politician already.
Okay.
She gave me the whole scoop on why she don't want to work. She doesn't want to work in the hospital anymore.
And
just because of the conditions. And so that's one of the things about this the number of candidates we have. We have about four or five doctors and health professionals. Dr. Dwayne Sands, of course, Dr. Reed, Dr. Rollins.
Dr. Fox. You guys have a lot of doctors.
Dr. Penn Knowles.
Penn Knowles, yep. And the other doctor from North Andres. So those persons are healthcare professionals that has the remedy, that has some sort of answer solution towards healthcare, and that's in the crisis. That's at the Princess Margaret Hospital. That's at the Rand Memorial Hospital. That's with our clinics right here in Providence. And so we want to ensure that we can tackle healthcare, to ensure that Bahamians has the right, they receive the right healthcare in order to live in a healthier lifestyle. Another issue that we talked about recently was housing.
Right.
I know the leader.
You have a very ambitious plan, 5,000 homes in 5 years.
It's very doable. It's very doable. I mean, we see now the current administration building homes in a matter of some months. It can happen once you plan properly and you have a strategic plan to ensure that we have at least 1,000 homes per year, which can be done. We'll ensure that within 5 years we have 5,000 homes. And that's something that Bahamian people want. Me as a young guy, as a young professional, I'm fortunate to have my own home, but that's something that I always wanted. A lot of take to have their own homes, affordable homes that is, of course. And so the FNM government, under Michael Pintar's leadership, we ensure that we're going to give every Bahamian an opportunity, once you're qualified, once you have the resources, to be able to affordably have your own home, which is a major milestone for anybody to be able to have their own homes.
Okay, take off your political hat for 1 minute and put on your Bahamian hat for a second. I know that there is some talk that there's a possibility that a lot of young people aren't interested in voting in this upcoming election. What would you say to them to convince them that it's very important that they take part in this particular process?
That's a very true statement. In canvassing, campaigning every single day, as a young candidate, young people ask me that question. They're not interested in politics anymore because they've seen over the years, every 5 years, consecutive governments, they feel as though they've been left out of politics as far as decision-making. And so for young persons, since canvassing, I would remind them, whether you, in all due respect, whether you vote or not, you will have a member of parliament.
Right.
You will have someone representing you. So why not be a part of that process and ensuring that who you may want to represent you will be in place. And so young persons feels as though they've been neglected. They don't have a say in this country. And I felt that way the same. I felt that way, most recently as well, too. Having to work so hard to be in a position to want to provide for yourselves, and it's difficult for a young voice to be heard on the national standpoint. So for all the young people out there, let your voices be heard. You are the future of this country, from this democratic process. And so use it to the best of your ability so that your voice can be heard, so that you can be a part of moving your country forward and moving the constituency forward.
Good stuff, man. This won't be the first and the last. I'm sure we'll talk to you again before we get to election in full-blown silly season. But it was good to make contact with you today, let folks know exactly who you are, what they can expect coming from the Brandon Grant Sound constituency. Obviously, you're somebody who's from the community. You know, the community is passionate and near and dear to your heart. So I think, you know, if successful, you could be a great representative for that inner city community, because you get it. You know what kids are up against. You know what older folks are up against. You know what everybody's up against in there, and what's needed to get folks out there and get them on a positive track. So I'm looking forward to seeing what you do.
Let me just ask you this. What did your parents think when you told them, hey, I'm going to get into politics, I'm going
to
run?
They're proud.
They are proud
to know that their son has an opportunity to make a difference in the community, because my parents have been living there for over 40 years.
Oh,
to know
stuff.
That I have an opportunity to be the voice is a big deal. And I'll close by saying this. For persons that aren't sure about your decision, I'm not here to bribe anybody to make a decision. I'm asking you simply, if you live in Bain and Grantstown, you walk out of your home, you look left, look right, look ahead, not back. We don't look, we're not looking backwards. And ask yourself over the past 4.5 years, have you seen this community develop? Have you seen it enhance? Do you, is it better than it was in the past 4.5 years? And that should be your conscience on making a decision. Have you seen it improve? If you have, then continue with that route. If not, then I think it's about time to give someone else an opportunity to show you better than they can tell you.
Good stuff. Glad to have you here, man. Glad to have you on board, you know, on today's episode. Looking forward to having you on again. And keeping an eye, like I said, on Bain and Grantstown is one of the legit constituencies in this country. A lot of good people have come out of Bain and Grantstown.
Hometown boys back.
And we definitely want to see you take it to where it needs to be. So keep an eye on
and
it.
And congratulations on all your success with the national team as well. Thank you so much. You know,
thank you.
I often, you know, talk about how the athletes make us look so good on the world stage. And you are obviously a part of that. So thank you so much for the work you do with
thank
our
you.
Athletes
thank
as
you.
Well.
All right. We'll take a quick break. Callers, we'll get to you right out of the break. Texas, we'll get to you out of the break. And coming up on the flip side of the break, we got lots to talk about. So keep it right where you got it. We're going to talk with some national issues. And I'm and now I'm putting out that clarion call. I am concerned about the chairman of the PLP. We need a wellness check
you
on
mean
Mr.
Because
Mitchell.
The pigeon Grand Bahama?
Freaking himself out. Anyway.
That time I looking at that water saying, I could go for a swim right now.
I
you
won't
know?
Buy that piece of property.
Man, anyway. You're listening to Talking Heads on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Refined style with elegant taste, then fine threads is your place. If you want those slacks hemmed or just taking the waist, then my place. If you want to look suave and debonair everywhere you go, like you're supposed to be in a video. Want to step out and look great, then fine threads is your place. Refined style with elegant taste, then fine threads is your place, is your place.
John Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's. We put fashion at your feet.
Put more money back in your pocket with the Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan. Why pay more when you can pay less? Reduce your monthly fees. Apply for a Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
KFC got that crispy onions crunch, take a bite, it's a smile. Sweet onion sauce drip, happy running down my side. Pepper jack cheese, bring a little playful wild. Brioche bun soft like a cloud on this ride.
KFC get chicken with it, hey. Taste the sweet side of things. Every single bite, so lit it. Got my whole crew doing that thing. Crispy onions, sweet onion sauce, pepper jack cheese going off.
Introducing the new sweet chicken sandwich at KFC.
Let's get chicken with it.
New roads and airports are connecting our islands. Energy reform is bringing electricity prices down, while young Bahamians are stepping up, gaining new skills for new opportunities. Respect for workers. Support for entrepreneurs. We're modernizing energy and infrastructure across our islands and preparing Bahamians to succeed in a new economy. Transformations this big take time. Let's choose progress. Paid for by the PLP.
Girl!
girl. You see how Cora eye look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you see him and Cora last Friday? I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn, and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business, then Jack come after me, and I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll-free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and we could text them. And the messages get on mix-up before it leave your phone, so nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty and Mary Jane. Mary Jane. Only on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Now you say eat as much, you know. They shall belong.
We're back at you on the Tuesday, March 24th edition of Talking Heads. Your boy Naughty along with MJ and your company right up until 6 p.m. You can jump into the texts. Then we'll open the lines back up. And, boy, you all ain't easy. You all ain't easy at all. Quick question. Well, here's the text. Good afternoon, Naughty and MJ. Why is that man wanting to borrow nearly $300 million to buy the power company? And furthermore, why so close to election? And if IRCA is the regulator for power, why bother to buy it? I need answers. That's the most foolish deal any government. Is it a desperation?
We all need answers. And hopefully when they start this debate, which I think is going to happen tomorrow, we get some of those answers. As I said yesterday, you know, the government has told us here in New Providence, here in the capital, that private capital is the way to go when it comes to our power company. So what is the deal? Now they are recommending that the state runs the Grand Bahama Power Company. It's a contradictory stance. And I just don't want it to be a thing where we end up spending so much of our treasure, like almost $300 million. And then you look 5 years down the road, we're looking around for some private company to come rescue us, because that has been run into the ground the way that in a lot of ways BPL has been run into the ground in terms of the debt load that they carry. So we'll listen out tomorrow. I'm sure most Bahamians will, to find out what the sense is behind this. But this is such a huge purchase, you know, more than a quarter of $1 billion. I really wish that this is something that happens after the elections. I feel like the government needs a fresh mandate on this particular big purchase. But we'll see. Hopefully, texter, we get answers as they start to talk more about it.
Naughty and MJ, I agree. Something is going on with Fred Mitchell. Someone took him by that place where the boat ramp is. That's not Pintard's responsibility. That's the port. And not even in Pintard constituency. What is wrong with Fred Mitchell?
It really depends. I'm not exactly sure where he is. It depends on where he is. It's not Marco City. It looks like it could possibly be
here's another one.
East Grand Bahama. I don't know what he was doing. He'll drop him off and leave him by that boat ramp, like that, wandering around.
Good afternoon, Naughty and MJ, and Cousin MJ, checking in from Winnipeg. What's up, Winnipeg?
Hey, Winnipeg.
The area that Fred was in is named Dover Sound.
Oh, that's where you... Okay, so
you're on the northern coast of Grand Bahama.
What?
That has never been developed because of environmental protection and flooding issues.
Ain't no way.
So I can guarantee you, if you build a house there, the Homes Rock won't allow you to have.
Do you know where Dover Sound is? It's like on the northern, like the Texas, northern. We passed through there.
So the Homes Rock community wouldn't allow me to build a home for you there because of the conditions?
It's crazy, like...
So
Wow.
I know some
that's
of you
that's where he went for a photo op, Mr. Mitchell.
All right.
No,
see,
do better now.
I'll be honest with you.
Oh, my gosh.
This is where some of y'all get on me, but I'm going to be brutally honest. You have to look at the political game. Yes, you need young people in it, but not milk around their mouth young. They need to have some experience as they step in. You do need veteran leadership. But you also have to look at when veteran leadership reaches a stage of its time to go out to pasture, then they need to go out to pasture. There's a reason why when you watch Wild Kingdom and Nat Geo, six lions walk out in the dark of the night, and five walk back, and the oldest lion is left out because you are now a burden. Well, the decisions made, in my humble opinion, by Mr. Mitchell has proven that his political shelf life has expired. He is obsolete. The game has passed him by. And for lack of a better word, he has become the silly septuagenarian that I refer to him to. And shout out to all of my smart, functioning septuagenarians doing big things out there.
I don't even put it on age in particular. I just think
Well, then I'm concerned because why would you go down there? First of all, what is your obsession with Grand Bahama? Second of all,
that's crazy.
You're forcing the issue of purchasing the power company. You're behind the scenes pulling strings on that. You now go to Dover Sound to try to shabby Mr. Pinto.
It's crazy.
Does he have your waters running so on top of the waters that Dr. Fox? Are you that consumed that you can't function properly? I am worried about your mental capacity, Mr. Mitchell. Has this political game, and you've ever been in love with the pomp and circumstance of politics, but we all know you don't like the politics of politics. And I'm wondering if the game has slipped by, if this has consumed you this go around, because you're running around, for lack of a better word, in the bush, on the edge of the canal, freaking yourself out. Because Michael Pintard and the FNM had an overwhelming turnout on Saturday night. I need somebody to check Mr. Mitchell. I think it's time for a wellness check. And mental health is a serious issue in this country.
Did you see some of the comments on that? I mean, yeah, they practically ate him up and spit him out in those comments. Because how are you going all the way to Freeport looking for? And all you got is a canal that's not developed and some, you know, debris that obviously needs to be put
away. And you come out of Fox Hill
with all the atrocities you need to deal with.
You pass the PMH and all the atrocities that need to be dealt with there. You pass other areas on island to get to the airport to go to Grand Bahama. And none of that works. And you got East End and West End and Grand Bahama, which your administration has been an epic failure to in the last 4.5 years, done absolutely squadouche, but yet you want to focus on Dover Sound and trying to tag that or hitch that to Michael Pindot. How does this work?
It's strange. I hardly went to Dover. Only time I think I might have gone by Dover Sound is when we went up through the northern part. And then, you know, if we go into like Grand Key or one of the other, or like Walker's Key or something. So, yeah, it's this pretty undeveloped area. But to think that is a gotcha moment is kind of strange. So I'm with you on that. But I don't think it's an age thing. I think that some people are just so fixated sometimes on power that they start to lose their mind, because no way he thought that this was a gotcha for Mr. Pintard. It just made, you know, him look a little bit crazy, ignoring everything that's happening in Fox Hill, ignoring everything that's happening in the hospital, ignoring how dilapidated a lot of our beaches and parks look. I mean, you put that picture besides a picture of many of these parks in Nassau, and that's a joke. Like, that looks like a vacation spot compared to what these parks look like here. So, yeah, I just think it's just being a little bit out of touch.
Phil Smith Park in Bel Air and Carmichael in there for one. Where the Phil gone?
You stand up there and it looks...
Where the Phil gone?
It looks crazy. So, yeah, I don't know what the point of that was, but that was a fail. I'm sorry, Mr. Mitchell. That was a fail.
Good afternoon, Naughty and MJ. Dr. Fox will need to examine Mr. Mitchell because it's clear his head is completely gone. How could someone go to Freeport and talk down on FNM Leaders constituency when there are so many places that are PLP constituencies for years that are so disgraceful and way worse than Marco City?
I'm not sure that's even his Mr. Pintar's constituency. He said neighborhood. Like, he went really wide and, you know.
Tell Fred go in the bush in Fox Hill, Centerville, Angleton, Bain, and Grantstown. Fred needs to go to a Dr. Fox and get his head checked and examined.
We could do a comparative study. Every MP member of parliament right now, just tell us where you live so we could come look around your neighborhoods to see what y'all dealing with. See where y'all live.
I agree, Naughty and MJ. Mr. Mitchell needs to Fox.
It's being distracted by the silliest things.
Naughty and MJ, Mitchell took that picture likely in Dover Sound because he knows many Nassauvians have no idea where it is. Looked like Fred didn't have no idea where it was either. Do somebody take him in the back of the bush and say, smile. That was about it.
Let's go to the phone lines. Talking Heads. Hi, caller. Talking Heads.
Yeah, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, I have a pet peeve that I need that y'all look into.
Tell us about it.
That's the Freeport situation with the payment for the contractor.
Okay.
For the hotel?
Yes.
Okay.
I have information from the person.
Okay, so what is happening?
They haven't been paid for, that's what this is, the 1, 2, 3, 4, the fifth cycle.
Wow.
The contractor didn't get the payment from the government or whoever is responsible.
It's the government.
The people them didn't get paid from the security company. They haven't been paid now for just over 2 months plus.
And were those the ones that were working on the Alukayan property?
They're still there, aren't they? They're
correct.
Still there.
Security officer working the, who work at the current office.
Right.
Security officers who are, I guess, subcontracted by the government.
Yeah. And they still haven't been paid. Oh, boy.
Well, over to.
All right, we'll do our due diligence on that caller, and we'll see if we can get some more answers out of that, and we'll speak to it. But keep us posted as things pop up. You know, chime in and let us know.
Can I say this? And I know that, you know, they say a loan guarantee for this purchase that they want to put through with the Freeport Power Company. But we've got $242 million in arrears, right? And people aren't being paid. You hear the gentleman saying that the security, they're not being paid. You hear doctors saying that the NHI is really late. We're being told it's a glitch, but can it really be a glitch so late? I mean, how many times have you done this? Even a glitch that slows you down for a day or two, I get that, you know what I mean? But we're in the 21st century, for goodness sakes. How can a glitch be holding you up for months and months at a time? Why are we consistently late? And why do we have so many persons still unpaid by this administration? I mean, it just boggles the mind. Don't they understand that people have to pay their light bill? Don't they understand
it's
that
this administration is not into paying, MJ? Look how many, look at the NHI contracted workers, same thing.
They have to pay their light bill. They have to pay water. They have to feed their children. They have to put their children through school. They have to pay high prices at the gas pump. I mean, I just don't understand why they're moving in this manner. And I don't think that a responsible government continues to have people wait so long to be paid. And now it's piling up. We learned that, you know, when you compare it to December of 2024, December 2025, it had doubled, you know, $243 million. That is a lot to have people out there, particularly Bahamian contractors, waiting for their money. And then we say, okay, we're going to go borrow more and go get ourselves deep into something to do with the power company in Freeport. We don't have a reasonable explanation for that. But why is it that this government cannot pay people on time? What's going on? Can you please come clean with the Bahamian people and tell us what is taking you so long to pay Bahamians that are owed?
It seems like they have an aversion to transparency and accountability and honesty, I swear.
Yeah, but I mean, you don't want to be transparent. But then why not just pay the people, though? You know what I mean? You don't want to tell us why you're late. Fine, you haven't told us. We will deal with that. But still, you can't just say, okay, well, I ain't going to tell nobody and I'm not going to pay them. Like, that's
no,
crazy.
No, you got to let them know something.
And all of these have, like, knock-on effects because when you're late getting your money that is owed to you from government, then you're late making your mortgage payment, then you're late making your car payment, and the bank don't say, okay, well, that's fine. No, they say, well, you're going to pay these late fees. Like, it probably costs so much, right, to Bahamians to go ahead and try to stretch time because the government is taking so long to pay people. And I just, for the life of me, do not understand why. We have a $75 million projected surplus for this year. I'm pretty sure that that is out the window. I'm pretty sure that that disappeared a long time ago. But you can say that, and in the same breath, you owe almost a quarter of $1 billion, and you're not making it a priority to get Bahamians paid in these tough times? Very, very expensive times? That's just not the way that we want to see our government function. And whatever is the reason that these people aren't being paid or that it's so backed up, they need to find a solution fast. Maybe they need to go get another advance from, what did they do the last time? Central Bank, if they're cash strapped, if it's a timing thing in terms of the taxes that you anticipate taking in, do something. Because to have persons be waiting this long for all this amount of money, to me, is absolutely, it's kind of heartless, you know?
All right, let's get to the break. Flip side of the break.
Texters, we see you. We see all of your texts. I promise we'll get them in.
And we'll get into sports. And like I said, we have lots to talk about sports-wise, too. And Spurs won again last night.
Well, I mean, what's new?
Lakers lost. 9-game win streak done. Mm. But hey, I still like how the Lakers looking. Spurs looking good. Over in the Eastern Conference, careful with Detroit. They're winning without their superstar Cade Cunningham. So that should be a harbinger of things to come for the Eastern Conference. They're a good enough team to win without Cade. All right, so we'll talk about that and more.
Shout out to people and everybody sending me pictures of exactly where he went to take that picture. Did he get lost? Who took him up there? How did he? My gosh.
Anyway, I tell you, the man is a silly septuagenarian.
Now I'm a little bit concerned. How you get there? Oh, my goodness.
MJ, you catch me wandering around in the bush aimlessly. You're going to ask if something wrong, correct?
Someone took the picture, so obviously he wasn't alone. They're wondering.
But for them to even indulge and go along with him on that mission, something wrong with them too.
Because the person taking the picture should have been like, no, this ain't a good look. Let's go.
He's called that Dumb and Dumber, Hackle and Jackal, Ren and Stimpy, Pinky and No Brain.
You're listening to Talking Heads on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Craving something bold, fresh, and unforgettable? Tropical Gyros is your flavor-packed escape, a Carib-Greek fusion born right here in Nassau. From juicy grilled salmon, chicken, and pork gyros to loaded bowls, fresh salads, wings, and more, there's something for every craving. Find Tropical Gyros at any of their locations, JFK Plaza, Rosetta Street, Port Lucaya Freeport, or their franchise spots on Prince Charles Drive, Soldier Road West, Delaporte, and Carmichael Road. Tropical Gyros, not just good food, it's an experience.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable Printmasters is the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Tech giving you trouble? For 85 years, the Armory Company has been fixing it. Your parents trusted us. Your grandparents trusted us. And today, you trust us too. Since 1941, we've been the Bahamas' trusted tech partner. From laptops and ink to access control and gate motors, we deliver reliable products backed by service that goes beyond the sale. Call 397-1600 or visit our updated showroom behind Wendy's on Mackey Street, the Armory Company. Celebrating 85 years of serving you.
KFC got that crispy onions crunch. Take a bite, it's a smile. Sweet onion sauce drip, happy running down my side. Pepper jack cheese, bring a little playful wild. Brioche bun soft like a cloud on this ride.
KFC get chicky with it. Hey, taste the sweet side of things. Every single bite, so lit it. Got my whole crew doing that thing. Crispy onions, sweet onion sauce, pepper jack cheese going on.
Introducing the new sweet chicky chicken sandwich at KFC.
Let's get chicky with it.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty and Mary Jane.
Mary Jane!
Only on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
OJ!
We're back at you on the Tuesday, March 24th edition of Talking Heads. Your boy Naughty along with MJ and your company right up until 6 p.m. All right, let me get this out of the way real quick. Text up. I know this song kind of grows on you. You want to know who it is? The name of the artist is Chronix. The band on the backup is actually the legendary Inner Circle. All right? Black member Inner Circle.
Yeah.
And then the sample in there is the legendary late Jacob Killer Miller, who was there on the cusp of things in the 80s with Bob Marley, but tragically died in a car accident. But he was definitely making waves as well, too. The sample is from his song, Tenement Yard. And, you know, nowadays, I think it fits perfectly. You know, your mouth could put you in a problem. And a lot of your politicians, your mouth can keep putting you in problems because you all keep saying things.
It's the promises for me.
Correct.
The promises they don't intend to keep.
Or saying we got a surplus when we don't.
Yeah, Yeah.
Or saying BPI bills are down when they're not.
Yeah, summer coming too, boy, I tell you.
And crime is down, but yet they raping everybody and they killing everybody.
And that's one thing about this whole deal with, you know, the Freeport Power Company, reliability. Because we were told that this deal between BPL, Bahamas Grid Solutions, would be about reliability, right? First and foremost. And then I think maybe the second tier is affordability. But reliability has been something that was much better in Freeport than it is in Nassau. I'm going to be honest with you. I never knew what load shedding was until I moved to Nassau. That was not a thing in Freeport, like consistent load shedding. Like, we're just going to be shutting you down for hours on end, so you're going to have to sweat it out. That was never a thing. That was a terminology I first learned once in Nassau. So as far as our reliability goes, the Freeport Power Company, the Grand Bahama Power Company, is heads above, you know, what we get from BPL these days. Sorry to say, because I, you know, a lot of great people down there at BPL, but it is much more, you know, reliable. Affordability, if that's what this government is in this for, then they're going to have to give us the numbers. And like I said yesterday, it can't be that you go ahead with this deal. Limited consultation. I see the folks from the Grand Bahama Chamber in the papers today saying you guys didn't even consult them, didn't consult the stakeholders, but now you want to, you know, bind taxpayers to this agreement that you haven't even, you know, made plain to us why it's necessary. So like I said, I'm going to be listening to them in the House, but reliability, that's much better in Freeport. So we don't want that get messed up with this little takeover you all have in mind.
And that's one thing y'all grind him is y'all brag on certain things, and the power is certain
things
that y'all brag on.
The bills could come down, all right? I definitely agree that the costs could come down, but it can't be the costs stay the same or go higher and now be dealing with load shedding in Grand Bahama. That's a no-no.
All right, let me get these couple of texts out of the way, and then we can talk some sports. Don't forget, the government put forward two requests totaling $600 million for BEC. Apparently, they have guaranteed profits for a risk-based power business. I'm baffled why they believe they can run Grand Bahama Power. Does Focal see dollar signs getting government to pay them on an additional $300 million every 2 months?
Does anyone know why the government is so, I mean, is pursuing this deal so strongly in these final hours
administration? Why the obstinate approach with Grand Bahama? Like,
what
you're
is
going
the
up against, you're going like you're being obstinate right now. You see that it ain't gonna work, but you're still trying to make it happen.
And if it's about elections, if it's about saying you did something, then where is the big, almost billion-dollar hotel that was promised? Where's the hospital? And don't tell me you couldn't get these things done in five years.
And for God's sake, don't tell me what Minnis did in his administration, because he got fired. Tell me what y'all done the last 4.5 years. Squadoosh.
This administration has actually been in longer now. January, when January passed, they've been in longer than the last administration was in power. So I don't even want to hear about, have you gotten done for Grand Bahama? I don't see it.
Hey, Naughty, good show. And MJ, good show. I'm thinking the government is broke right now, and that's why they need that money from the Port Authority, and that's why Bahamians are not being paid.
I mean, they really have to explain why there is such a delay. And this isn't just all of a sudden. For a while now, people have been saying, you know, the government has been very slow to pay me, and they've contracted me for work. So much so that we even had a caller once who said, guess what? They can't even get the work done before. They got to pay cash now for some people because they have left them, you know, just hanging out there for so long without being paid that people are not willing to do work and then invoice the government. They're like, no, pay me cash up front or I'm not going to do the work because they're not getting their money on time. And I just, for the life of me, cannot understand why this is happening. Why aren't we paying people? What is the problem, you know?
That's the people not getting paid is wondering what the problem is.
I mean, we all want to know.
Everybody want to include it. They're the first of the list. Why we ain't getting paid in 5 cycles?
Yeah, and we hear, well, the government can be broke. I agree.
But hold on.
In a technical way, I gotta ask, can't be broke. But are we having a cash flow problem? Like, what's going on?
You've got workers in Grand Bahama saying that they have not been compensated. You've got NHI workers that still text us on a daily saying that they haven't been compensated, giving us a running account a month by month as to why they're not being paid.
And I know that it could
be. So there must be issues that the police insurance couldn't get paid.
So if all your big,
we just had to borrow $1.8 million to put in a report.
Well, yeah.
I mean, come on. That's top down status.
Feasibility study.
If we ain't broke, we janky right now for sure.
Yeah. And the thing about it is, if it's a, you don't get your revenue in until, I've heard them say before, you know, perhaps most of the revenue comes in for a while now. This is your going into what, fifth year? You've been at this for a while now. You understand how these things work. So you should be budgeting appropriately. And let's talk
about
the budget.
All I have to say is, when we came to power, Grand Bahama was dealing with Dorian, and we had a lot of issues from the previous administration. And what? That's 4.5 years ago.
No, but let's talk about budget though. You do budget. Let's use beaches and parks, since that's the one everyone's familiar with. You budget. You seem to under budget that particular authority every year, right? You under budget it because you always go above and you spend more than you allocate, right?
Or maybe
you
have a minister that's incompetent and can't budget the budget for 4.5 years.
But after 4 years, why are we still, are we under budgeting on purpose with the intention to overspend?
Or maybe it's being spent elsewhere and we need to follow where the expenditure goes.
Either way you look at it, I mean, when you're asking people to do work and you have no intention of paying them in a reasonable amount of time, what does that say about us, you know? 4 years in now, 5 years in now, we should have the lay of the land when it comes to, you know, when the receipts are generated versus when we're able to pay.
Let's go to the phone lines. Talking heads.
Hey, Donnie and MJ, just the legend, man.
Good afternoon.
What's happening?
Yeah, man. Boy, nobody can beat these people. Boy, they just ask for $300 million a day. They call these figures like crazy, man. Well, I'm blind and I can't see that, man.
Boy.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, goodness.
But yeah, we got to get out of borrowing, though. We borrow too much.
Great country. I'm going to pay for that.
Yeah, no. You're right. You're absolutely right about that.
And that's something that they don't need to pay for because then they're not even privy to this deal. Yeah.
I'll keep on listening.
Thanks
all right,
so much.
Man. Good stuff as always.
No, he's right.
Naughty and MJ, the PRP is borrowing money but hasn't paid civil servants. I know one thing. They better pay people before elections because the anger is building. P.S. I'm not voting for them in any event. Let's go, Pintot.
Yeah, this not paying people in a reasonable amount of time, that's the question. I don't understand why it's happening. They're not giving us an explanation.
Judging from history, the government wants to use our money to purchase it, then sell off for a fraction of the price for France.
Oh, boy.
Or to France. Also,
oh, boy.
We the people still own BEC and its debts. If all the revenue will be collected by private entities, how will we pay the debt BEC still has, which is probably growing?
You know what I think is fair? I think it is fair for Bahamians to ask, if you're now moving towards state-owned utilities in Grand Bahama, and you'd been in a totally different direction here in New Providence with a much larger customer base, right? What ultimately is your vision in terms of that particular purchase for Grand Bahama? Because it is taxpayer money that's going to buy this. Why are we doing this? And is there something else happening in the background? Do you have intentions of buying it off this one company and then doing something with the private sector in the background? I think it's only fair that the government is more full-throated about this particular deal, especially since they waited so long to answer questions about BPL and then just dumped like 3,000 pages worth of documents and contracts on us. And it's like, they're there, okay? That's not accountability. That's not transparency. Tell us what your plan is.
They have none. That's what I think.
They must, because it's 300 million reasons why we need to know.
Well, they got a plan that they got for themselves and not for us.
What the plan is.
Good afternoon, Naughty and MJ. Let's ask the PM to give us a list of his next potential cabinet ministers should the PRP win again. I want to see something.
Well.
Oh, Jesus.
You know that ain't happening, but nice try, Dexter. You know that ain't happening, and I know what you're driving at.
Let's pivot to sports real quick, man, before we get out of here. Some sports headlines for you. The Bucks rebuked by the NBA's dispute.
What happened there?
Well, Giannis don't want to play because they tanking it, and he wants to get traded next year. So,
he's not? Because I only really watch the Spurs. What is Giannis doing? Is he not showing up to games?
Notice, listening audience, you hear the shit.
I mean,
right?
I watch the Lakers too because I'm forced to.
You hear it, right?
What is Giannis doing?
The National Basketball Players Association rebuked the Bucks over their dispute with Giannis Antetokounmpo. You know Giannis. Implying that Milwaukee isn't tanking and damaging the NBA's integrity by wanting to shut down the all-star forward for the rest of the season. Sources told ESPN's Sham Sharania last week that Giannis refused the Bucks' request to sit out the remainder of the season. The two-time NBA MVP has remained adamant about returning to the court this season, believing he is not risking any further injury. Sources told ESPN.
So, wait, let me get
similar to the Max Crosby situation. They want to shut him down to tank for better picks. He doesn't want to shut down to tank. He's making noise. The league is now involved. Here we go.
Yeah, because that looks crazy when you're intentionally, you know, shutting him down like that to tank games.
Yeah.
Especially when they already have all these problems with gambling and so forth. But anyway.
NFL to consider the tweaks for replacement reps. And yes, if they don't get a collective bargaining agreement and a new agreement deal done with the referees.
They're going to bring in temporaries?
It's going to be scabs. It's going to be replacement refs. It's not going to be
going towards the playoff this when they're going to have this problem?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
The NBA Players Union is calling for a 65-game rule change. They want to play 65 games instead of 82.
Oh, they got to be late. It's too lazy. I'm sorry. 60. They think they football tonight. Ain't no way. 65?
WNBA season may run to November 21st under the new CBA. Frank Thomas sues the White Sox for using his name on a jersey. How that relationship is faulted because he was an All-Star.
Well.
But here's this headline, and I just want you to close your eyes while I read this, okay? Only in America. Amputee cornhole player faces murder charges.
Which state is that? That's what, Nebraska? Where, what?
Okay, I'm gonna.
So there's an
amputee. Charles County Sheriff's Office, and this is in Virginia.
Virginia, okay.
A county sheriff's office in Maryland said Monday that a professional cornhole player who is also a quadruple amputee, so that means no arms and no legs, or lost four parts of his body, quadruple amputee.
Mm-hmm. I'm Googling cornhole because I don't even know what that
fatally shot a passenger in the front seat of a car he was driving during an argument. Dayton James Weber, 27, was arrested and charged as a fugitive from justice by police in Albemarle County, Virginia. It wasn't clear Tuesday whether Weber has an attorney yet. Messages from the AP seeking comment were left for his mother were unresponsive.
Wait, okay, respond. I just catch it. Cornhole is like the game with the little like mini beanbags, and you just
and
throw
it
in
holes.
To try to get it in
so
the
I'm
hole.
So I'm figuring out how amputee to be a cornhole player.
I didn't even know that was the official name of the game.
So he's playing with his mouth.
Wow, and he's a professional. They have professionals in
and
this
and a quadruple
sport?
Amputee means it's got to be your arms and your legs, because if it's your head, you're dead.
But no. But
and other parts of your body, you
but the you said he's up on a murder charge? Shooting?
Correct.
That's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I said.
Just only in America?
Only in America. Only in America. All right, let's have a look at the games on tap in the NBA tonight. Not a big night tonight. Only four games, but you got some good ones. You got the Kings and the Hornets early on. I like the Hornets in this one. Charlotte's 17.5-point favorites. I'll take them in the money line. I don't think they cover the 17.5. Knicks, 8.5-point favorites over the Pelicans. I'm going to say the Knicks get it done at home over the Pelicans tonight. I like the Knicks to win and cover the 8.5 over the Pelicans.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the Knicks until I have to worry about them, but they probably...
There's Cleveland, 10.5-point favorites. The Magic lost one last night. I'm going to go with the Cavaliers tonight, but I'll go in the money line just to play it safe.
The Magic has been on a... Because they lost to you guys over the weekend as well, right? In a really close game. I saw the ending of that one.
That's 38-33. They lost a couple, but they've won a couple too. They're up and down.
They're
right
middling.
Now.
Middling.
Right. Then you got the Nuggets taking on the Suns. Nuggets, 6-point favorites over the Suns. I like the Nuggets to cover the 6 and beat the Suns tonight.
Yeah.
So there you have it there with that. And just your Spurs last night. Laid the smack down.
I noticed I haven't heard from Muff.
Yeah, Muff didn't call today.
I noticed Muff didn't call today. He had all that talk about how the Heat were going to do X, Y, Z. But, you know.
136-111 was the final score. Spurs improved to 54-18. Miami drops to 38-34. If you just look at the box score, though, Wembanyama in 26 minutes had 26 points. He shot 11-22 from the floor. 1-7 from three-point range. He had 15 rebounds, 4 assists. Then you had my boy Keldon Johnson come off the bench with 21 points in 24 minutes. Castle had his 19 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. De'Aaron Fox had 14. Very well-balanced team. And you know what? Quietly, you all signed Kelly Olynyk out of nowhere.
Yeah, looking good.
To come off the bench. Miami. Bam Adebayo had 18 points, along with Tyler Hero. They had 18. They were the leading scorers. Nick Powell had 21. And then everybody else kind of fell off. Not a good effort from Miami last night. And they end up losing 136-111. The Lakers lost last night as well, too, 113-110 to the Pistons, minus Cade Cunningham. Danish Jenkins, I mean, I never heard Jenkins is. Stat Boy had to beat me to Danish Jenkins this morning because Danish Jenkins has done nothing except for last night. He scored a career high 30 points, including six in the final 34 seconds. And we had no answer for him, and they beat the Lakers 113-110. If you look at the box score, Luka had 32-7-6. Excuse me, pardon me. Reeves had 24. LeBron only had 12, shot 4 of 10. So I think last night was DeAndre had 13 points, 10 rebounds. But like I said, those were the main guys right there. Lakers didn't get any bench support, and they obviously didn't play any defense because they let, you know, this veritable unknown, Danish Jenkins, put up 30 points.
Well, I mean, sometimes it's like that, you know.
So we'll see how it goes tonight in a fully loaded schedule on Wednesday night. Lots of games on Wednesday, some good games too, Hawks and Pistons.
Yeah, and we get
Bulls
into the
76ers,
thick of March Madness,
the
right?
Thunder and Celtics. But one thing I must say is I tip my hat to VJ Edgecombe, man. Averaging 38 points.
That's his average?
In the last three games with no Maxey and everybody injured. If you look at the game on Monday night.
Yeah, the rookies had to carry the load.
They lost to the Thunder 123-103. All right. Nobody was there, you know, to play for the Sixers. Everybody injured. But VJ, 14 of 28 from the floor. So
good,
that's
50%.
Stuff. 7 of 15 from three-point range. Ended up with 35.6 rebounds, 4 assists.
Good stuff.
Good stuff.
Good stuff. I love it.
All right. Well, I hear Mr. Producer running the track.
Can we give a shout-out
in
the shout-outs on air?
You go ahead,
of course,
and I'll wrap it up.
You know, we got the award over the weekend at the Elevation Awards for Talk Show of the Year, and I got to tell you guys that we absolutely could not do it without having one of the best producers in the game, Mr. Chris Penniman. So shout-out to you, Chris. You know that you make this craziness that is happening sound sensible. So we want to say thank you and congratulations to you because I feel like this is just as much your award as anyone else here that's a part of the team. So congratulations to you, Chris. Job well done.
Good stuff, brother. Glad to have you on board and, you know, appreciate all your efforts, especially during the week, but especially on Sunday as well with the press box, man. And like I said, we couldn't do it without you. Good stuff, man. Greatly appreciated, man. You definitely part of the Talking Heads, fam.
All right, we're going to get out of here. You guys have been listening to Talking Heads on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We will see you tomorrow.
Deep, deep,